Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I'm very happy to come in when everyone's fighting about Torah and about the centrality of Eretz Yisrael, as you heard in the former Shir. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to hear people fighting for a change about the true message of the Torah, not about junk and narishkeit. First and foremost, I'd like to dedicate the Shir this morning to the memory of my grandfather, Shlomo Ben Yehoshua, whose yurt site will be tomorrow. And all the Torah learning that we'll be learning this morning will be dedicated in his memory. Gentlemen, last week we started to deal with this particular gadget as it comes to fore in davening. Can you daven from a smartphone phone or from an iPhone phone or from any other gadget phone? If just to make it very clear to everyone here, we'll recap for a minute. The Gemara says explicitly you're not allowed to hold things in your hands because it may spill on the floor and you won't be concentrated into davening. And we understood that during davening, there's two things happening that are maybe opposing. On the one hand, you have to feel like you're in the height of sanctity, you're standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But on the other hand, the crux of davening, the centrality of the Shmoneh Esrei is what? What is the main theme of Shmoneh Esrei, even quantitative-wise? Requests. We have 13 brachas of request, only 3 of praise, 3 of thanksgiving. So obviously, when Chazal decided Daven Shmoneh Esrei, they wanted you to bring life from outside of Shul into Shul. So therefore, we have 2 opposing things happening in davening. On the one hand, the smartphone should be left outside because you should feel like you're going into this sanctified shul with Kedusha all around you. It's like standing in front of the Kodesh Kadoshim. But on the other hand, what are you supposed to concentrate on? Exactly what's in the phone. The troublesome email you got. The fact that you got another report about, God forbid, another terrorist attack. That's exactly what you should be going ahead and concentrating on, and maybe therefore the phone should be in front of you during davening, at least a minute before Shmoneh Esrei, so you know what to concentrate on.
Here the phone is actually the sitter. The other, when the Gemara refers not to carry things that are...
We'll get to the sitter, God willing, today or next time. We're getting there.
Thank you.
I promise you, we will get there. We are talking about a phone, which is the sitter. No one around this table will think for a moment that they're allowed to use a phone in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei to look at their emails. I hope. I hope. I've seen it, but I hope around this table everyone will agree it's not right.
Texts,
emails, it's okay. I've already seen a chazan text in the middle of Pesukei Dezimra, so my eyes have seen many terrible things. But basically the crux of the sugya is, can you hold something in your hand that you're worried might fall? And therefore, the phone might smash and fall, and that is the biggest concern here with the phone. And therefore, you're not going to concentrate on davening. On the other hand, we said, well, due respect, what's in the phone is what I want to concentrate on. And that's where we left off last week. Going a step further today, do we have a precedent of someone holding something that's nothing to do with davening during Shmoneh Esrei? Do we have a precedent like that? If you look on the other side of the page, you'll see there is a precedent. Maybe a little less known to us. It's a Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Mem Aleph Amud Bet. I personally love Masechet Sukkah because you can learn it on Sukkahs and you mamish are in the Sukkah and you're fulfilling what it says, and it's just an amazing thing. You don't usually have that sensation with Pesach because during the Seder you're not learning Masechet Psachim. Though there is a Tosefta that says that, as opposed to what it says in the Haggadah, that the rabbis stayed up all night in order to do what? What did they do all night? By you, Misaprin Besiyat Yitzrayim. They would talk about the story of the emergence of Egypt. There's a Tosefta with a variant text that said, no, they were learning Halacha. So it's interesting that they were learning Halacha that night, but I'm sure they were learning it after they fulfilled the mitzvahs. On Sukkahs, it's very rare that you can sit in the Sukkah, you're fulfilling the mitzvah, and as you're fulfilling it, you're learning about it. That's like a very rare thing. Usually you learn about it before or after. Here, you're learning about it as you're doing it. So I love Masechet Sukkah.
So guys getting divorced, they're learning Gittin. And the ones getting married should be Kedusha.
The ones getting divorced should learn Gittin.
The ones who suspect their wives are doing
First stuff. Of all, I think if men would learn Masechet Gittin, there would be less men that make their wives aguna, handmade agunas. Right. And I think if they learned Kedusha and more Torah, they would be more menschish, I hope.
Yeah,
but unfortunately, it's not always like that. It's not always like that. There's a famous story with Rav Chaim Moiser Grzynski that there was a fire. And then back in the old country, when there was a fire, everything's made out of wood. That was like the catastrophe of the catastrophes. Everyone's running around. Some yeshiva bacher comes up to Rav Chaim and wants to talk to him in learning. And he says, now you want to talk to me in learning? There's a fire! He says, yes, I want to talk to you about the sugya and bava kama, about isho mishum chitzav, isho mishum omano. Why is a person chayav when there's a fire that he started? This is exactly what I want to talk to you about as the fire is brewing. So we're not as stupid as us yeshiva bacher is. We're sitting in the sukkah and sukkahs and we're learning Masechet Sukkah and it's beautiful. And you see maybe your daughter or your wife or your son is shaking lulav. And this is what it says. Amalei Rabba Marmimer Lavashi. Abba Tzli Kamatzlile. When Abba would daven, he would go ahead and hold, says Rashi, the lulav in his hand during Shmoneh Esrei. Meitive, the Gemara says, this is a problem. And what do you think they quote? Exactly the Gemara we quoted last week from Brachos. Lo yechoz adam. You shouldn't hold in your hand anything during Shmoneh Esrei because you're worried it's going to fall. And with the lulav, what's the worry?
It'll break.
It will break. Goodbye. If you break the tiyomet, goodbye. V'homer Shmuel sakin, and he brings the whole sugya. The Gemara says, no. Hatam lav mitzvah ninu v'tarid behu. Hacha mitzvah ninu v'lo tarid behu. The Gemara says there wasn't a mitzvah to hold the Sefer Torah in your hands during Shmoneh Esrei, right? And there wasn't a mitzvah to hold a knife in your hands or a bowl of soup in your hands during Shmoneh Esrei, right? The examples in the Gemara in Brachos. But here says the Gemara, there's a mitzvah, and therefore, lo tarid behu. What do those three words mean? Lo tarid behu.
We're not concerned about it.
And Rabbi Eliezer ben Rabbi Tzadok says this was exactly the minhag of Anshei Yerushalayim of his time. They would go everywhere with their lulav. The Gemara goes on to say they'd leave their house with their lulav. They'd go visit the sick with their lulav. There was nowhere they went without their lulav, including, from our perspective,
Shmoneh
Esrei. This is paskind lahalacha in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch, when he brings the halacha of not holding anything in your hands, is quick to point out the lulav bizmano, when there's a mitzvah to hold the lulav, namely on Sukkos, mutar lechoz biyado during Shmoneh Esrei, kevan sha'achiza biyado hi mitzvah, ein only trad bishvilo, because holding it is a mitzvah, you're not worried about it. Working off of the Gemara in Rashi, who says exactly those words, nitilata velikichata, holding it in your hands, taking it and holding it, mitzvah hi, it's a mitzvah. Umitoch shechaviva mitzvah alav, because he loves the mitzvah so much, en masa'o v'shemuro kaved alav velo tarid. What do we keep on seeing here? If you're learning a piece of literature and you want to get to the main point, what do you look for?
The conclusion.
No. There's no, in the Gemara, as you know, there's no word saying conclusion. If there would, most people wouldn't learn anything. They go to the conclusion. No. When you were trying to get, what's the main theme here? Very rare. Very rare. Yeah, here and there is hilchatas, but usually there isn't. I'm saying, when you read a piece of Gemara, and when you read everyone, they keep on saying the same word. Obviously, that's the thing. What did the Gemara say? Because it's a mitzvah, lo tarid behu. You're not worried. You're not concerned about it. Rashi says that. The Shulchan Aruch says that. The Bach says that. Lulav mitzvah hi velo tarid mutar lechatchila. Everyone says lo tarid behu. The Ritva goes on and explains what that means. How come you're not concerned about the lulav? After all, what was the concern about the Sefer Torah? It may drop. So why aren't you worried about the lulav? Says the Ritva. Rashi says because the mitzvah is so important to him, lo tarit. V'layarati l'softa ato. I didn't understand this Rashi. And he goes on to say, what does that mean? Devadai kol sheken shebitoch chavivut mitzvah yiten libo belulav shelo yipo v'lo yitgavem mitfilato. Because you spent 50, 100, 150 shekel on this lulav esrog set, you're going to be worried about it falling down and getting ruined. And there goes your money down the drain. There goes your lulav and esrog for sukkahs. Of course you're worried about it, says the Ritva. So what is Rashi talking about? What's the Gemara talking about? That because it's a mitzvah, you're not concerned. Explains the Ritva. Yesh lefarish, the tirda the lulav, worrying, being concerned about the lulav, kivan de mitzvah shata hi vehi chaviva, because it's a mitzvah that day, afa pisha mefaneli bo aleak tzat, even though he's a bit worried about it falling, eino mefaneli vo lebatala. He's not concerned about things that are, what's batala? Irrelevant. Irrelevant. Rather, what is he concerned about? He comes to davening. He's not totally and utterly into concentrating on davening to Hashem. What is he concerned about also? Says the Ritva, if shar shechivuv mitzvah zu, yitnenu v'yizkerenu l'chaven libo b'tfilato yoter. When a person is concerned about doing a mitzvah, perhaps he'll be concerned about doing all mitzvos. One of the mitzvos is to daven properly with kavana. So the lulav, in a way, helps the person put his mindset into the kedoshified, sanctified mindset he should have. Be concerned about mitzvos. Be concerned about davening properly. Thus, hold the lulav in your hand, because that will allow you, it's a mechanism to allow you to have kavana for davening. That's the way the Ritva understands the Gemara. Going back to our paradigm, how does the Ritva understand davening? Davening is an experience of bringing life into shul, or elevating yourself to a higher level. Elevating yourself. The lulav is great. And elevate yourself. You have holding a mitzvah in your hand. Okay, it might fall, but okay. Because you're elevating yourself, you elevate yourself even further.
You're not concentrating on your
The Ritva acknowledges that maybe, and as I quote from his words, afal pisha mefaneli bo alei aktzat, even though the kavana is diminished a little, overall, the Ritva says, let's make a calculation, take in the entire stock. Overall, it's not a bad day. It's actually a good davening. He's holding the lulav. Maybe his davening will be better. And you know what? Psychologically, I get him. I can see people that on a regular day come to shul, they're half asleep. Imagine they're holding the lulav and esrog in their hand. Maybe they'll be a little more concerned about what they say. If they're concerned about the lulav and esrog, maybe they'll be concerned about talking directly, rendezvous, face to face with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a beautiful idea.
It reminds me a little bit of an amulet, though.
So not an amulet. He doesn't talk about it being an amulet. He does not say those words. He says, because you love the mitzvah, lulav and esrog, perhaps your heart and your mind will love all mitzvahs. And you'll appreciate, finally, the great privilege of talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and davening. So true. Your name again.
My name, Mendel Feigl.
Mendel says correctly that the kavana is diminished a bit. But if we have to look at it in terms of checks and balances, advantages and disadvantages, the advantages overweigh the disadvantages because you're concerned about one mitzvah, hopefully will lead to be concerning about other mitzvahs. That's the way the Ritva understands the fact that the Gemara is quick to point out you're not concerned about the lulav. You're concerned about the Sefer Torah, you're concerned about the knife, you're concerned about the bowl of soup, you're not concerned about the lulav. If I did not see the Ritva, I would have suggested, and therefore I put it on the left side of the sheet in script handwriting, so you shouldn't think I'm quoting a Rishon or Achron, I'm just quoting myself, that what does the Gemara mean you're not worried about it? What's your agenda on Sukkos? What's on the agenda of a Jew on a regular day? Parnassa, kids, family. Chol HaMoed Sukkos, I'm pretty sure all those things are on the agenda. What's on the agenda in addition to that on Sukkos? If we have to bring life into shul, part of life on Sukkos is lulav and esrog. So when you have to say, I'm coming before HaKadosh Baruch Hu now, I'm going to request things from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what should I request? So you look at the news, you look at the emails, you see how the family's doing. Amongst many things, what else are you concerned about? My lulav, it should be kosher.
Yes.
The hadassim should be nice. The aravel shouldn't have dried out as of yet. And in Israel, we all know that happens pretty quickly. Hopefully no one broke the pitam on my esrog. Everything's in place. Shouldn't that be part of your davening on Sukkos?
Yeah.
So maybe what the Gemara means is not that you're not concerned with it because even though it is a concern, it will make you daven better. But rather, quite the contrary. That's exactly what Chazal wants you to be concerned about on Sukkos. They don't want you to be concerned about the Sefer Torah. That's a separate thing. After you finish Lulav and Esrog, you put it away, you zip it up, you put it back in the box, we'll deal with the Sefer Torah. They don't want you to be concerned about tefillin. Here in Eretz Yisrael, no one puts on tefillin. But even in Chutz La'aretz, when they put on tefillin, they usually take it off before Musaf, sometimes before shaking Lulav and Esrog. Before Hallel even. Before Hallel even. So obviously we don't want you to be concerned about that. What do we want you to be concerned about? about what's on your agenda. So what are you going to request from HaKadosh Baruch Hu today? Shema Koleinu Hashem Elokeinu. Chus V'rachim Aleinu. Kaba Barachim Ratzon Tfilateinu, etc. God, give me parnasa. God, let my wife love me. God, let my children talk to me. God, please allow me to fulfill this mitzvah of shaking the loaf and esrog today. Let's compound this by the first day of Sukkot, where it's a mitzvah to oraisa, not to rabbanon, to shake the lulav and esrog. Mitzvah to oraisa, just to shake the lulav and esrog. Don't you want them to be kosher, not stolen? Hopefully the money you invested did not go down the drain. It's a big mitzvah. So therefore, what does the Gemara mean? Lo tarid behu. We're not concerned about it because that's exactly the concern we want you to have. Thus, when you read the Shulchan Aruch, lulav bizmano, not on Monday or Thursday this week, but on Sukkot, mutar le'echos biyado, kevan cha'achiza biyado, he mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. Ve'eino nitrad bishvilo. You're not concerned because of it. About what? About things that are extraneous to it. Like with the Sefer Torah, you're not concerned about reading the Torah. What are you concerned about? Dropping it. When it comes to Sukkot, when it comes to lulav, what are you concerned about? That they're kosher and I want a daven for. This is part of my avoda of Sukkot, lulav and esrog. Holding it in your hand actually puts it on the agenda. It's very much like, if I can make an analogy, you daven before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Re'ena vo'onyenu ve'riva rivenu. Bring us redemption. And as you're saying those words, you're looking at your cell phone, and you're looking at the latest report about, God forbid, another stabbing. Would you say then, no good, nitrad bishvilo? Or would you say, it's exactly like lulav bizmano. It's the mitzvah. I'm not in security forces. I'm here in shul. I'm not able to go ahead and take care of this terrorist. I'm here in shul. What is the only thing I can do? To daven. So there's two ways of understanding this lulav paradigm. Either it's a way to elevate you and kedoshify you. That's what the Ritva understands. And therefore, I know Torah means you're not concerned because it elevates you. Perhaps. Good question. Perhaps. Good question against the Ritva. And therefore, I suggested that what's the difference between Sefer Torah and lulav? Sefer Torah is not on your agenda when you daven. What should be on your agenda when you daven? The lulav and the esrog, that's part of what Sukkot is all about. You want to talk about it, understand it, let it go into your kishkes. So we do have a paradigm where there is an allowance to hold a lulav in your hand, and there's two ways to understand it. Either it kedoshifies you, sort of takes away the world and puts you into the mindset of only holy things, or the quite the contrary. It puts on the agenda what you want to be on the agenda, namely, you're shaking lulav and esrog. So let's go to the phone, let's go to the sitter in the phone. And let's go to any sitter for that matter. Holding a sitter in your hand would also be a problem against the famous Gemara that we quoted in Brachos. Because if you can't hold a knife, because it may fall, and if you can't hold a bowl of soup, because it may spill, wouldn't you be worried about holding a sitter because it may fall? In the middle of a silent Shmoneh Esrei, everybody's going to look at you and say, whoops, and you're going to say, whoops, or you may say, oops, and then there's a hefsek. I think there's a clear problem there. So what do the poskim all say about this? The Ritva goes ahead and says that any sefer in the world you cannot hold in your hand, in ramification to, the kayotze bahem, chutz misidur tfilot, debahai vaydi lekele mechash. You can't hold any sefer in your hands during davening except for the sitter, because there for sure there's no problem. Explains Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah is a perush on the reef in many of the Masechtas and Shas, not all. He says the following. If sharsha b'tfilot with a sitter, kivan shehem letzorech ha-tfilo, im ichina mitchila b'makom sheyadua etzlo shehu muchani mutar. Why are you allowed to hold a sitter? It's letzorech ha-tfilo. Mm-hmm. So, let's take our two explanations and plug it in here. If the explanation is you want to have good kavana, you want to feel like you're standing before Kadosh Baruch Hu, holy, holy of holies, what's the best way to do it? Look in the sitter. Look at the words. Don't look at your friend. Don't look at anything. Look in the sitter. So it's letzorech ha-tfilah. If you take the second explanation, bring life into shul. How does the sitter accomplish that? How does the sitter accomplish that if you want to bring life into shul? How is it litzorech hatfila? It tells you what's on the agenda. Chazal put onto the agenda 13 things. What do I plug into these 13 things? I have nothing? Everyone's healthy at home, refayinu out. I got enough money in the bank, barech aleinu out. Jerusalem is in a wonderful state of mind because everyone in the world recognizes that Jerusalem is the eternal capital of the state of Israel, Yerushalayim Yerichah. I'll say it. I won't exactly mean it. The sitter helps you put these things on the agenda. Right? So obviously the sitter is Letzorech HaTfilah. And these exact two points of view we see in the Shulchan Aruch's wording of it versus the Truma Sadeshin. The Shulchan Aruch says, Mutar le'echoz machzor tfilot biyado b'sha'a shemitparel. Ho'il v'tofes Letzorech tfilah atzma lo tarit. How come you're allowed to hold the sitter in your hand, says the Shulchan Aruch? Because of the lulav. I would have said the opposite, no? What did I need a lulav for? The sitter is the words. I want to know what to say. Says the Shulchan Aruch, no. That's not the reason for the sitter. The reason for the sitter is because of the paradigm of the lulav. How would we explain the paradigm of the lulav? It elevates you, it kadoshifies you. So the sitter for sure would do that because it talks about davening. The davening is in there. Yes, you can daven baal peh. But when daven baal peh, you look around, you say, whoa, look at that. There's a spot on the wall over there. It has to be painted. You know, kulam omrim, kulam barum, kadosh, 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 Hashem tzvakos, melocho ha'aretz. Look at that, it's 9:58. Well, you have a sitter in your hand. You're going to look at the spot in the world, war, and when you're going to say, that's what should concern me now. I'm talking to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. The Molochim say those words, and I'm saying those words. So the Siddur accomplishes kadoshifying you like the Lulav.
But if the Siddur had the pop-up messages, vibrated, or did things that actually were a distraction, there's a question about it.
We'll get to it. Says the Truma Sadeshen in the other way. He says that, according to the Gemara we just learned in Brachos, not allowed to hold anything in your hands. The sitter should have been out too. But he knows the Ritva, the Rabbeinu Yonah, he knows that everyone allowed the sitter. So what's his reasoning? If you look on the left side of the page, says the Truma Shabbesen, Nirad Shari, in the lines that's bolded, Kivan de'ino oto ha-machzor ha-tfilah ala rak kidei li-itpalel b'diyuk ve-lo yidalek shum ot. Lo moshanil shelibo do'eg alav kamo gabei oches tfilin biyado o-sefer Torah b'zro. Ho'il v'tavshel l'shem tfilah atzma kidei li-itpalel b'iyun v'diyuk yefeh. Why do you hold a sitter in your hand, specifically a sitter? Tefillin has nothing to do with davening per se. You can put on tefillin in the morning, take it off. Sefer Torah has nothing to do with davening. We do it during what we call the prayer service, but you can do it after the prayer service for that matter. Why do you hold a sitter in your hand, says the Truma Sadeshen? Not to elevate you, not to make you holier, but rather?
It's just the words of the sitter. You can read it.
So you can daven properly.
Right.
Now let's try to plug in these two beautiful interpretations into our beautiful phone sitter on the phone. According to the first explanation, when you hold the sitter in your hand, you elevate yourself above and beyond this world. According to that explanation, I'd be very hesitant to say that the sitter on the phone would accomplish the same thing. Why? Even though it has the words in there, says Bruce, at least with the sitter, it's a sitter. It's a holy book. Today, most people don't even hold books in their hands. They read everything on the internet. All of a sudden, you're holding a book. You're in another state of mind. When you hold a sitter in your hand, let's be honest with each other. When you hold a sitter in your hand, you're holding something that's a holy item. If it falls on the floor, you'd give it a kiss. So it kadoshifies you. It sanctifies you. When you hold a cell phone in your hand, what did Bruce say a minute ago?
Your pop-ups, vibrates, messages.
Pop-ups, messages, whatnot. It's just continuing what you've been holding in your hand all day, and you go into the shul and you hold it again in your hand. It's not going to change your state of mind at all. So you could be physically in shul, physically doing this, or physically shuckling like this, but quite frankly, you're holding the same item you held a minute ago.
Although,
I'm not so sure that a lulav and a sitter would be equal to the smartphone sitter, because it does not accomplish the same thing.
Although smartphones, it asks you, I was benching at Beit Shemesh the other night, and it asked me, what time did you start the meal?
Oh, beautiful.
You asked me.
That's a smart smartphone now.
I had to think, okay.
Very nice.
So where you might forget.
Very nice.
Where you might forget with the sitter.
Very nice. That's a nice one, because there is a big problem when you start the meal before Rosh Chodesh and you go into Rosh Chodesh, do you say Yalei V'Yavo? Very nice. On the other hand, according to Druma Sadeshin's explanation, that you want to bring life into shul, does the smartphone achieve that?
Well, it's bringing life into
It's shul. Absolutely bringing life. This is the same thing I've been using all day. I've been writing on it. I've been texting on it. Now I'm using it for davening. So everything I've been doing on it is in my mind when I stand before Kodesh Baruch Hu. So if I've been writing an email to my banker, I want you to invest the money here. I don't know if I made a right decision. When I get to Baruch Aleinu, because I'm holding the same sitter I wrote to my banker with, maybe I'll have that in mind. What do you say?
Yeah.
Could be. Yeah. If all day I'm worried about this, that, the other thing, the terrorist attacks, I'm seeing what's coming in from all the various places that my apps are throwing at me, I'll be worried about that when I come to davening. So maybe it's better than a sitter in a way, because a sitter just gives you the words. This gives you the words with the agenda, because when you hold the phone, you're thinking of everything in life that you do on the phone. So maybe the smartphone is even better than the regular sitter. The smartphone has the ability to bring life into shul far better than the contemporary sitter. Yeah.
Another thing also, you know, with the smartphone, sometimes I'm doubting, I forget it's much Chodesh. I forget. And there it is. You know, it's...
It's that.
It's right there. You know, it's a reminder.
Taking it a step further, says Bennett, with due respect, on a regular sitter, you got to figure out which day it is. Many of us don't know what day of the week it is, but on the smartphone, they put in the Yalei V'Yavo for you, so you can't.
It dumbs us down, in a way.
Huh?
It dummies us down. You don't have
dummies
to.
You down?
You don't
all
have
right.
to remember anymore.
That's why it's called a smartphone. It makes you smarter.
Well,
but, okay,
smart.
With the iPhone, there's a shayla on that svara. But with the smartphone, at least, it makes you, if you're dumb, it makes you smarter. So basically today, and we'll finish next week to see what exactly the poskim of our generation say about this, I just want to end by saying we do have a paradigm in halacha of holding something in your hand called the lulav. We explained it in two different ways. Either it sanctifies you, and I'm not so sure the phone would achieve that, or it brings the agenda of the day in, and for sure the phone will achieve that. And we went, with 1 second, to the sitter, in which the sitter was also a shayla. The Shulchan Aruch understood it elevates you like the lulav, not because you can read the words better, but says the Truma Tajeshim, quite the contrary. It brings the agenda exactly in. And because it brings the agenda of the day exactly in, therefore you can use it. And I added by saying that with a smartphone today, not only did it bring the agenda of what you did all day on the smartphone in, but as Bennett pointed out, this is correct, the smartphone actually tells you exactly what you're supposed to say, what you're not supposed to say. I'm just wondering about the guy in Zion Mar Cheshvan at night, goes to Ma'ariv. Does he remember to say V'tein Talamot Alivracha? Probably not. Even if they do the stupid bang on the bima that everyone does, I never understood it. I never understood it halachically, because we're supposed to somech ge'ula the tefillah. So how do you do a half second bang? So you say the tzorech ha-tefillah. I know the heter, but I don't like it. But they do the bang, then you start davening. Between the bang and your time of davening, V'tein Talamot, you're going to forget. The phone reminds you!
So maybe you'll explain the kosher phone, because maybe...
Okay, 1 second. Bennett had his hand up.
Also, like I was on a plane, and we didn't let the lights on. I wanted to go. It lights up, you know...
There's many things.
There's so many advantages today.
No question. On the other hand, let's put out the disadvantages. The phone vibrates. It's going to be very hard for you not to look at who calls. Mm-hmm. The phone sends a message. It's going to be very hard for you not to look at it. The sitter would accomplish all of that. Sort of detach life for those few minutes. The smartphone sitter does not do that. So that's exactly the two explanations we're dealing with, the two opposing views of how do we define davening. Is it a kedoshified experience, and therefore all the things that will distract you are out, except for the things that will elevate you? Or do we say, no, we want you to be distracted by things that we want you to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about, and therefore we want the phone. God willing, next week I will give my conclusion on this issue, to show you three different points of view and what I personally believe should be the way to go to eliminate the problems of vibrating and whatnot and how to do it. I will just end by saying that the smartphone has changed the entire way we deal with each other. We talk to each other. We communicate with one another. And I do not want it to impinge upon our ability to communicate with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and davening. And that's what we have to put on the table next week, to honestly ask ourselves, if we do use it, how do we not allow it to impinge upon that? A lot of damage has been done to the way parents talk to children talk to parents, Just in a room right now, me talking to you and you not looking at your phones is like avodah kasha sheba migdash. It's one of the hardest things in the world. I'm talking for half an hour and it's hard for you not to look at your phone. So from this perspective, we have to actually ask ourselves honestly if indeed the phone is the way to go, even if it has a sitter on it. You'll see my conclusion next week. I think it might surprise you. I will just give a little bit of the coming attractions and say in my last 10 seconds, don't expect what you think to expect. I'll leave it at that.